Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you would like to join the program, Mitch, I see you on hold. Hang in there for me, buddy. A small bit of 49ers news. We already mentioned via Nick Wagner of ESPN and Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area that Brandon Ayuk not practicing today for the 49ers. The 49ers did announce a couple of practice squad additions. Keyshawn Vaughn, who was with the team during training camp, a running back, has re-signed with the team on their practice squad. And then they officially added Terrace Marshall. His signing was first reported yesterday. James, we talked about that a little bit. Terrace Marshall, 6'2", 200 pounds, out of LSU. Sporadic career with LSU, but has all the size and measurables that make him an enticing prospect. He spent 3 years with Carolina and did basically nothing in his 3 years with Carolina.
Yeah, tough. He's fast, though.
Extremely fast. So fast. Somebody asked yesterday, I don't know who it was, asked yesterday in the 49ers press conference if Terrace Marshall was Brandon Ayuk insurance. I get the thought process, but I want to get away from Terrace Marshall specifically. What is it with wide receivers? Every time a wide receiver is available, this is a little bit separate from this specific instance, but people lose their minds. Like, gotta go get that guy. Gotta pick. Is Terrace Marshall a Brandon Ayuk insurance? No!
No.
He is a bad player that the worst team in the league just cut. Excuse me, bad NFL player, unproductive NFL player, that the worst team in the league just waived. He was on waivers. All 32 teams had a chance to snag him off of waivers. Zero of the 32 teams decided to do that. And then the 49ers went, all right, we'll take him. We'll throw him on the practice squad.
I think people need to remember, too, the 49ers were not awarded any waiver claims. They didn't even waive. They didn't even claim him.
They didn't claim him. They signed him after he cleared waivers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're talking about the 59th pick in the 2021 NFL draft.
Yeah, like, what's he have, like 39 catches in his career?
Something like that. No, 64.
64 catches in 3 years.
767 yards and one touchdown. Great. Not great.
And if he was, look, I don't hate the idea. If you're just bullish on 24-year-old Terrace Marshall, and he just turned 24 in June. So if you're bullish and you're going, man, that Carolina team was just bad, didn't have great support, the quarterback play there was really terrible. He just needs to be in a better situation. Okay, cool. I don't hate that thought process. If you say, yeah, this is a great flyer, totally agree. If you're gonna take a flyer on a wide receiver, I would rather see Terrace Marshall get some burn than Tay Martin, right?
Okay.
Tay Martin's another practice squad guy for the 49ers,
yes.
Former undrafted guy. I don't mind the flyer. I mind that we've decided that he's Brandon Ayuk insurance. He's just very clearly not.
No.
He's a practice squad guy. That's it. That's the extent of it.
Yeah, and like, look, I think that there's always potential that if you get a guy in the right system, mm-hmm. that you might be able to pull a little bit more out of him than someone else did.
No doubt.
But very, very seldom does a receiver not work somewhere and totally burn out somewhere and become something great somewhere else.
Exactly.
It's not
exactly
the way it works.
It's it not typically.
Yeah, I think for like many years, like I always, when I play fantasy football, I always center on wide receivers.
Right.
And it's just something I played wide receiver when I was young. It's something that, like, I focus on wide receivers, and then you're always, you know, rookie year is always tough. Second year mm-hmm. can be even worse mm-hmm. for some receivers. And then third year is where they are who they are.
Right.
Right. And so I've always kind of like rode the wave of like, okay, I kind of know when a player is going to be good and when they're not. And you can look at the quarterback play. You can look at who's around them and all that stuff and, mm-hmm. and kind of gauge. And that's usually how I build my teams. Mm-hmm. But I also know that when a dude hits a plateau early in his career, it's usually that's it. They're yep. not going to do something great. And then every once in a while, one of those guys will have like 3 touchdowns in 1 week. And you're like, oh my gosh, he finally made it. No, he probably will not catch another touchdown the rest of the season.
Yep.
That's just the way it goes.
Sometimes it's random.
It is.
And maybe it is fantasy football that gets people to buy in so heavily to receivers.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm the same way, man. I'm to take flyers on all the receivers, but I don't know if that's fantasy football related. I don't know if it's draft related because we're so heavy into the draft now.
Yeah.
That, man, we saw all these Terrace Marshall highlights at LSU. There's a ton of potential, and hey, we're leaning on that upside forever.
Yeah.
Even though we have a decent sample size of him not being a great NFL player. But I don't know. Any time at Niners Wire, I write the 49ers should pursue X wide receiver. It's going to get a ton of clicks. And people are like, yeah, receivers. It's just the one position that everybody's like, hmm.
It's totally bizarre.
Really odd.
Yeah.
Really, really odd.
Well, I hope the 49ers can figure out their wide receiver room very quickly, but it doesn't feel like they're going to.
Need to do it quick.
Yep.
Season's
almost here, Kyle. We're almost there. Do you have fantasy football draft this weekend?
Hang on. Oh, okay, sorry. I got a notification from somebody who sent in our group thread, our Slack channel for the NFL Wires. All I read was Schefter, Ayuk to the Browns, done deal, were the words that jumped out to me.
Oh.
And it says, here is Schefter saying he thought Ayuk to the Browns was a done deal, which is kind of nuts.
In the past.
Yes.
Mm.
Even though it wasn't.
Wild.
Which goes back to what you were saying, that like, yeah, hey, this trade stuff was never real for the 49ers. They were trying to gauge Ayuk's value so they could adjust their contract offer accordingly.
Yeah, it was just another of their many, many negotiating tactics.
Yeah, I 1,000% think that's what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to get it figured out by week one. Man, tough.
Yeah.
Tough.
So no fantasy football draft this weekend?
No, I'm done. Until we have our draft here where you and I are having a team together.
Oh, now we're going to the insiders team?
Yeah. Is that just what we're going to call it?
No, we got to have to
Come up with something better. Do we want to wait? Do we want to just be like insiders awesome team until
we draft and then we come up with a clever name based on team
player
names?
Based on what we have? Yeah.
Okay.
Does that work?
That's fine.
Okay, yeah. Cool with that. Or we can do something funny like... You know how Yahoo automatically gives you like James Ham's cool team or whatever like default name they give you? No. You probably don't because you've had the same team name forever. That's what they do when you first sign up. They just give you a default name like that. We should name our team like Aaron Roberts' cool team.
Oh, just like making fun of
just mess
our boss.
Yeah.
All right.
Or name it somebody who's not playing.
Mm.
Name it after someone who's not playing.
Okay.
I don't know if Jesse's in the league, but like Jesse Tapia's awesome group.
Okay.
No? Not in on that idea?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Play it by ear. We'll see. So if you missed it yesterday, we got asked kind of to be in the Odyssey Sacramento Fantasy Football League.
I think we were told.
That's a great point. I was talking to Charlie and our boss comes out, our Charlie's boss comes out and goes, are you recruiting him? And Charlie was like, what? And long story short, Aaron was more or less like, you and James are the 12th team in our fantasy league.
Mm.
It's like, oh, okay, let me run that by James, but I think we'll be good. So anyway, so we're confirmed. We're good to go. TBD on when the draft is. But that might be this weekend. If it is, then you and I need to have some conversations.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm going to have my big draft on Monday.
Right.
That's the day that we always set aside for the big draft.
No shows that day, by the way.
Yeah, I'll be making nachos.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So
I hope to see photos on social media.
It's a huge deal.
Many people are talking about it.
Yes.
Massive deal.
It is. Well, within my fantasy football league.
People are buzzing around Sacramento.
If I didn't show up with the nacho bar, people would be angry.
You hold the phone. You take a full nacho bar?
Oh, yes.
So you bring chips undressed.
Undressed.
Cheddar cheese or nacho cheese or both?
Nacho cheese.
Okay.
Which I've in a giant crock pot.
Okay.
And then I do.
You don't just carve open the can and dump the cheese in?
Well, that and then I do that, but then I mix in like jalapenos and other stuff.
Okay, fair, good.
Okay.
How do you do all this?
Okay, so I have a triple crock pot, a crock pot that's long with like.
Yeah, three crocks
three
in it.
Three separate. Uh-huh. And one of those is beans, and one of them I do ground turkey.
Okay.
And I make my own ground turkey, and then I do a chipotle bean, and then I make guacamole, and I have sour cream, and I've got all kinds of salsa, and I don't bring the jalapenos. Maybe someone else brings jalapenos, and then I bring all of this to my buddy's house in Roseville.
Huh.
The worst part is he bought like a, it's a...
Do you also bring the chips?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What kind of chips are we talking?
Mission? No. Juanita? What are they?
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
They're really good.
Okay.
I bring I bring it all. And every year
wow.
I bring this for probably the last...
I love the idea, by the way. It sounds like a lot.
Like
I just
10 or 15 years.
When you said you made nachos, I thought you put chips on a tray and threw all the stuff on,
no.
threw them in the oven for a little bit and pulled up with the tray.
No.
I didn't realize you bring a nacho bar. That's intense.
I bring a full nacho bar.
That's intense.
We should have a nacho bar here.
Like, dude, you pull up a nacho... I'm eating it.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's a good nacho bar.
Chips and salsa... Or anything of that ilk, chips and salsa, chips and guac, nachos,
yep.
anything like that, and French fries. I don't care what kind of diet plan I'm on. I don't care what. I will find space in my day.
Yeah.
For that.
Okay. No,
two of my favorite foods.
Yeah, we might like we got a big day coming up. Maybe I'll just bring a nacho bar like for
to the thing at the place.
Well, no, for here, like...
Oh, for here, okay.
We have our one-year anniversary next week.
Oh, that's... Oh, true!
I could just make a nacho bar for our one-year anniversary.
Kim's not here today, huh? Dang.
No.
I want to do my joke with Kim where I go up and tell her, hey, we want to plan this huge thing for next week.
Oh, yeah.
And just see what she says.
See what she says.
Uh-huh.
You can also ask her about my invite to the meeting with the big boss.
Oh yeah, good point. So yeah, I'll sprinkle that in too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, James is wondering if he's gonna get that invite to the meeting he's supposed to have yesterday.
Mitch, you've been super patient. What do you got?
Hey guys.
Hey,
what's
Mitch.
Going on?
What's going on?
Even Mahomes care for this Marshall. He said thumbs down. They released Juju. They have one or two guys. I don't know. They're in jail. In and out. They're gonna be punished somehow. And somehow he didn't want this guy Marshall. I hope De'Aaron Fox will be a king for life.
Uh-huh.
They should call it the foxhole. And you were talking about the A's. I mean, I was an A's fan on and off. Sometimes I also follow players. When Frank Fernandez got traded from the Yankees to Oakland, became an Oakland fan, and they always have these bad owners. Imagine how many championships they would have won if they had a good owner, kept spend the money, kept the superstars. You would have at least 10 rings, I think, from both those teams. I'm talking about the Gasecko and the Reggie Jackson years.
Yeah.
It's a shame what's going to it's happening in about another month, right?
Yeah.
That's it for baseball.
Real bummer.
I hope baseball expands, but I don't think Oakland's going to get another team.
Yeah, it'd be tough. All right. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Appreciate you. All right. I think he was saying that the Chiefs didn't sign Terrace Marshall, which lets everybody know that.
Well, he also, I think he believes that Rashee Rice will be in jail and suspended. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, but his court date isn't until December.
Yeah, that's...
It sounds like if he's going to be suspended, it won't be until next season.
Maybe.
I have no
idea. I mean, they could suspend him mid-season, I would assume.
They could.
But, yeah.
Are they going to do that to the Chiefs, suspend him for six games right as the playoffs start?
Maybe.
I don't think they're doing that to the Chiefs.
Yeah, probably not.
They're not. No.
Yeah,
and then didn't they just sign Juju?
Yeah, they just signed Juju.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. There was a lot there to unpack.
Yeah,
Mitch.
lot going on. I shouldn't have gone to Mitch. That threw me all the way off. What were we? We had nacho bar. We have our our 1 year anniversary coming up.
Yeah, we do.
And all right. That's all I got.
I can't do a nacho bar in the Fortress of Snacktitude.
No.
The nacho bar is like, it's a production. Plus,
the Fortress of Snacktitude is like a small locker. It's not a big locker.
No. And if I was going to do it, we need to make sure that it's a day where we have more than three people here.
I'd kind of disagree.
It's just like the two of us eating a whole lot of nachos?
Not the two of us. Jesse would dive in. Kenny would dive in for sure.
At least eight times.
John.
Yeah?
Sales guy John. That's true. Every single day.
That's right. Big shout out to John.
Promotions. We've got promotions people here every day.
That's true.
All right. Kim, maybe?
I think maybe Aaron. Charlie. Might stop by. Charlie would stop
by.
See,
there's a ton of people.
Oh, so okay. Maybe we should do a nacho bar.
I think Tuesday, Wednesday are the days where there's more people here, typically.
Yeah I think Wednesday is our 1 year, it will mark the 1 year anniversary of our show.
Okay,
starting.
That's perfect. All right, yeah. Wednesday, let me know what I can bring.
Okay.
You want me to bring the chips?
Maybe.
I'll bring chips.
I might have you bring the jalapenos, because that's the one thing I always forget, so my buddy knows he's got to always have jalapenos.
Do I need to slice the jalapenos? Do I just buy a jar of pickled jalapenos?
Yeah, just do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought I needed to have an intensive workload in this as well.
No.
Okay. No, I can do that. I can swing that.
Okay.
You only do ground turkey?
Yeah. I mean, there are times where I've done other things as well, but the ground turkey is really good.
We can coordinate this.
Okay.
Sidebar.
Sidebar to our nacho bar.
Sidebar to the sidebar. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. I have 10 things I want to get to here. Ian Rappaport on NFL from NFL Network tweets, Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase is at practice today, but not practicing. 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk was not present on the practice field today as practice began. Standoffs continue. Ian Rappaport wasn't there. He wasn't at either practice. Where is he getting this info? I know that he's getting it from somewhere because people have tweeted about it. He's not crediting anybody.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's
like, Rap, you're not there.
That's a tough
just
look.
Just via Matt Maiocco, whoever you saw it first.
Or via reporters on the ground.
Via.
Yeah.
Right, reporters on site.
It does look like Leonard Floyd is back at practice.
Yes.
According to a video put out by 49ers, the NBC Sports 49ers account.
Yeah. Leonard Floyd back out there.
That's a big deal.
Really big deal. I'm not super optimistic about Yeter Gross-Matos.
Okay.
Being on the field, their other defensive end, but Leonard Floyd being out there is a pretty significant deal. I'm so over the Brandon Ayuk thing, man.
Yeah, it's just like, I know we've said we're not going to talk about it, but then we have to talk about it, then we don't want to talk about it, and we've reached
the point of it's no longer training camp.
Yeah.
You're down to 53 players. Your preparations for week one are here, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not in practice. And it's different with I honestly think if he was doing a straight holdout and was at home in Arizona or wherever he lives, just like Trent Williams is doing, I think that would be one thing. But he showed up, he's negotiated, and like we talked about earlier, I think that all the options are on the table for him. He's just not picking one.
Yeah. It's a tough look, man.
It is. It's the most, I didn't even want to say diva. It's just like, bro, do anything. Pick a lane so everybody can move on from this.
Yeah.
Do
you think that that's what the story is afterward? That's how it's going to be told afterwards?
Yeah. Unless he re-signs and is awesome, then everybody will forget about all this. But I 100% think that if he comes out this year, let's say he signs with the 49ers or just plays on his fifth year option and doesn't play well, well, now you did all that for what? That was the talk with Bosa last year.
Yeah.
He didn't have a sack until week three. He didn't accumulate his third sack until week eight. It's kind of like, man.
He was a shell.
You held out and this is what you're putting up? Mm-hmm. I think that is going to be the story. And I know Ayuk didn't technically hold out, but he is at this point. He's in the facility to avoid fines.
Yeah.
And now won't make a decision. And he's holding the 49ers hostage. He's holding the Steelers hostage. It's just like, man,
it's a tough look.
Let's get this over with.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know.
All right.
Ian Rappaport on the ground at Bengals and Niners camp. Good for him.
At one time.
At the same time.
That's right.
I read this story yesterday. Actually, I should say, if you listen to an audiobook, do you read that book?
I fought that with, like, there are times where I'll listen to audiobooks, right?
Uh-huh.
But then, and so I guess, yeah, you can say I read that book. But, like, I fought it with the Harry Potter series. Like, I don't want to listen to the audiobook because, yeah, you know, I drive a lot. So I could bust through a whole bunch of the book every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, I'm done with the series, but I didn't actually sit down and read them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think it is considered reading the book. I don't think it should be, at least. It's kind of cheating, isn't it? I mean, you're still taking in the information.
Yeah, that's it. So I listened to this article about scientists collecting samples from an asteroid that will provide clues to what was around before the Big Bang.
Oh.
And more or less, long story short, there's a crux to this. They have to launch this thing into space and have it land on a like rocky mountainous surface of this massive asteroid that's like 3 football fields wide.
Yep.
That's moving at 27,000 miles an hour.
Okay.
So they have to get this thing into space and figure out how to land it on this asteroid.
It's the plot from Armageddon.
Basically, more or less, yeah. Except they didn't slingshot around the moon.
Yeah.
Popular Mechanics, this is where the story was, if you want to check it out. Robin George Andrews is the person who wrote it.
Okay.
This entire story blew my mind. I'm not going to get into the science of it because I don't understand it. But at one point, all they can get are these like grainy one-dimensional photos of the asteroid, so they can't pick a place to land their spacecraft.
Okay. While it's traveling 27,000 miles an hour.
Yes. And while this thing's in the air, the thing is taking off, and they're trying to figure out, so who do they call to get 3D images of the asteroid? Brian May, the guitarist from Queen. Dead serious.
What?
Yes. Brian May is like an astrophysicist who specializes in taking multiple photos of an asteroid and then pasting them together to give you a three-dimensional image.
What?
That is what that guy does for a living now. The guitarist from Queen with the hair?
Yep.
That's his job. That and touring with like, not Adam Archuleta. Who's the guy they tour with?
Adam Lambert.
Adam Lambert, thank you.
That's who they did. I don't know if he still tours with them, but yeah.
Yeah. That's what this guy does. I was so shook.
That, you know, it just, like, that's one talented dude.
Incredible.
Yes.
He could have ridden being the guitarist from Queen for the rest of his life, and he went, nah, I'm going to take pictures of asteroids. Like, what a guy. I thought that was amazing. You and I started talking about Queen this morning.
I'm a huge Queen fan.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I was amazing. Go read that story, though. If you're into anything having to do with engineering or space, I have a very rudimentary knowledge of all that and thought the story was amazing.
Hmm.
It's in Popular Mechanics by Robin George Andrews.
Okay.
Very, very cool. Listen to it on Apple News Plus. It's my new favorite app.
Okay.
Aside from the free Odyssey app, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I want to get back into some of this King stuff we've been doing. And Jason Tatum talked about his Olympic journey. And I think it's really interesting what he had to say. I will tell you what it was next. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
He spent 65 days in...
Sorry.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Good question from Tyler Jennings in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN 1320, twitch.tv/ESPN 1320 as well. said, why no CMC at practice? Here's my theory on that. Because Benjamin also said, CMC calf injury scares me going into the season. I believe that the 49ers value Christian McCaffrey's health above all things. And so instead of having him on the field for these bonus practices this week, they're giving him all that extra time off. He's been doing work on the side, and then they'll get him into practice on Thursday because Monday Night Football, so everything's moved up. Wednesday practice is now Thursday, et cetera, et cetera. So he'll be in practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week. That's my working theory. And they are just being full precaution, like no setbacks. We don't want anything going wrong. We want to make sure he's good for week one. That's my read on the situation. I haven't gotten any indication that he's in danger of missing the week.
Okay.
Because if that was the case, there are enough people plugged in enough with the 49ers organization who cover the team that would be a story right now.
Well, I think that that's going to, like, if that is going to happen, it's going to, like, just blow up and be an even bigger story because of what's happened with the 49ers all offseason. Like, that's going to be an issue. If McCaffrey isn't healthy, mm-hmm. and we haven't really known what the deal was, except for, oh, he's just not going to play in preseason. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden, you start to stack weeks, and you're like, oh, week one, week two, and we don't know when he's going to be back type deal. This thing's going to spin out of control pretty quickly.
Yeah, if Christian McCaffrey isn't on the field week one, tough.
Yeah.
But like I said, I believe he's not in practice right now, which was the original question. I believe he's not in practice right now because it's not official week of practice. They'll give him as long as he needs to get right.
Yeah.
That's my thought anyway.
No, I hope that that's the case. Yeah, we're going to have to dive deep into this Willie Cauley-Stein story. So The Athletic has a story out on Willie Cauley-Stein, and it's by Kyle Tucker, and it's entitled Willie Cauley-Stein Dodged Death, Recovered, and Then Came Home to Kentucky to Let Love Heal Him.
What?
Yeah, there's a point where Willie Cauley-Stein was, when he stepped away for quote-unquote personal reasons, according to this story, when he was with the Dallas Mavericks in November of 2021. The team cited personal reasons and then waived him in January. He was in a 65-day stay at an inpatient rehabilitation center for substance abuse.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, and according to this story, he was eating a bootleg Percocet, which is a combination of Oxycontin and acetaminophen. He was eating them by the handful for a long time.
Oh, my God.
And then it turns out he was buying fake pills laced with fentanyl. And yeah, he really, really got himself into some trouble. And this had been going on for a while. And then he ended up going to rehab, and hopefully he's found his way through to the other side. So I always thought that Willie...
Holy smokes, man.
Yeah, Willie was a really, really good kid who had some delusions of grandeur on occasion. And like, I'm not sure, like, substance abuse is not a surprise. This type of substance abuse, yes, that's a surprise. But like,
man,
being around Willie for a long time, he had a really, really tough upbringing. You know, the Willie story, he became like a superstar high school football player, and the Will Shields family like adopted him, like the great offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Like during his high school years, and he lived with their family. Like, he just had like, that's like, when you cover the NBA, you know that a lot of the players that you're covering have not had it easy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of why when someone like gets paid, when somebody like you're excited for them, because a lot of these guys, like their lives before basketball were extremely harsh. Like Ben McLemore, him and his brother used to like walk around the neighborhood and mow people's lawns so they could get enough to buy like the 8-cent pack of Top Ramen.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would mow lawns for quarters so they could eat. And like, that's a tough life, right? And so you want to be like super harsh on somebody who you know, blows up their NBA career, taking pills and, you know, or smoking way too much marijuana or whatever it might be. But at the same time, you have to understand that like their lives are not just simple and like they may not have had like sort of the benefits that all of that we've had growing up, where whether it's stable home life or whether it's, you know, whatever support you had as a child, like some of these guys just didn't have any of that, you know, parents choosing between having food or having electricity during the winter and being able to pay for heat. You know, that's not something my family had to deal with. And I think a lot of other families out there didn't have to deal with that question either. You know, struggles for sure, but struggles to that end, no, I didn't have to go through that. So, so you're always like looking at these stories and like you have to step back and say, oh, he didn't just like screw up his career because of drugs. Like his life was complicated. His life from a very, very young age is complicated. And when you're 7 feet tall, you can't hide. People like they're always like looking at you, but they're always also trying to attach themselves to you because they think that you have an ability to be their meal ticket. And there's a lot of things that go wrong, you know, with families or with AAU coaches and all of these things. It's really, really a lot more complicated than people think. And even when Willie was at Kentucky, Kentucky has a way of just like ushering you out the door, right? So even when Fox and Monk were at Kentucky and Bam, right? Fox has been clear, like the day after they lost in the tournament, like Calipari pulled him aside and said, okay, you guys are going to the draft. And it's like, well, I might stick around. It's like, no, you're going in the draft. I have your replacements coming in and you guys have done great and you're going to do great things for the program because you're going into the draft and you're going to be high picks, but that's the system in place. And then you see a guy like Willie who didn't do that. He just kept saying, no, I'm staying. And it was because Willie found a home where like he felt comfortable and maybe comfortable for one of the few times that he's ever felt that way. So he stayed at Kentucky for 3 years. And again, like people always like the expectations of a player, who they should be and stuff. And Willie said things quite a few times in Sacramento that just, you just look at him and go, man, come on, please don't say that. Like how many, like he showed up to camp and I'm interviewing him for NBC and like, you know, I'm going to get paid. And you're like, how many times I tried to get him to like take a step back and like, man, I really don't want that to be what comes out of this discussion. And he just keeps saying it. And I'm like, well, if you're going to keep saying it, then I'm going to put it out there. And then you're the one who's going to look bad for saying it. And then it's like, oh, well, he didn't say that. It's like, and you know, agents get involved and PR. It's like, okay, look, if you guys want to play that game, I'll just put the video out.
Yeah.
Here's a video
of me trying to talk him out of it.
Where he says like eight times and I'm trying to help like, oh, please don't do this, dude. You're really coming across the wrong way.
Yeah.
And not everyone is like that, like wants to take a step back and ask a player something specifically. But your job isn't just to, I got you, you know, is to go in there and like pull one quote and just flame somebody. Right. That's not the job. I mean, I'm there for 41 games at home. I'm in the locker room every day. I'm going to practice every day. You have to build relationships here. And sometimes building a relationship means pulling a player aside and saying, hey man, I, you know, really don't think that that's what you meant to say.
Yeah.
Or I don't think that that's how you want it to come across, but this is how it's going to come across.
Yeah. Just so you know, this is what is going to go to print. Is this what you meant?
Yeah. And so sometimes it is about like pulling back and saying, hey, look, you know, what are you doing? Like he famously said, I'm not going to do that anymore. You're like, do what? Block shots. I'm not going to block shots anymore. Like, wait, what do you mean you're not going to block shots anymore? He's like, well, I hit the backboard twice now and broke my fingers. Like, I'm not going to try to block shots. And he's like, unless it's like a, you know, like a 6 foot tall guard and I can get way over the, like, and is way away from the rim. And I'm like, we're all looking at him like, man, that might be in your head, but I'm going, you really shouldn't say that because you literally were drafted to block shots. That's like what your job is.
Because one of the radio shows in Sacramento is going to spend 4 hours on your quote the next day.
Yeah. So I don't know, like you get it, you gain a new perspective with players when you're around them all the time, and you understand they are people, and a lot of them just have not had had it easy.
Well, and everything you just said, and you did not even mention the difficulties of making the jump from college to the NBA from a basketball perspective.
Yeah.
Like all of that, and then also, hey, the most difficult thing to do in sports, go from college to the pros, you also have to do that. Like on the court. Forget all the off-court stuff that you just mentioned. Now you have to figure out that, hey, I'm a high draft pick. Oh, hey, I don't quite dominate this league the way I thought I was going to. I have to adjust my expectations accordingly. That's like impossible. It is so hard to do that.
I totally agree.
And on top of all the stuff that you just said, like, man, it's like you said, it's easy to just go, wow, he messed up so bad. But when you start providing context, it's like, man, that's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. There's always context, and you're always like somewhat hopeful that it works out for some of these guys. And like, look, he came to a franchise that was in flux, a franchise that had just sold, that was just opening a new building, that already had a star center in DeMarcus Cousins. Like the situation he was walking into wasn't like a normal NBA situation either. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times when you bring kids into a program, like even if it's an NBA program that already has its own issues with instability, Willie's rookie season was the George Karl year.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was chaos the whole time. It was just chaos. And then his second season is Dave Yeager. And like, there's just so much that goes into trying to bring along young players that sometimes, you know, guys get lost and sometimes guys lose their way. And so I hope Willie finds his way back, you know, whatever that means, back to wherever, you know, but like to a normal life and, you know, some sort of success, personal success. And,
rooting for him, man.
Yeah, I've always said, like, he's a very nice guy. Like, most of these guys are. They're good dudes. But, yeah, not great to read that he's popping handfuls of pills.
That's tough. And for
multiple years. Like, very, very scary stuff. Who's this? Willie Cauley-Stein.
Oh.
Yeah, the story out in The Athletic today is just absolutely crazy. Which he's being honest and, you know, but to hear he's popping Percocet, bootleg Percocet, by the handfuls, and went into rehab during the middle of the season with the Dallas Mavericks that year, which no one knew until now. Yeah, just really, really crazy.
Yeah, that's tough. Willie's a... I saw Willie's story pop up, but I just didn't have time to invest in it. I didn't realize that was the focal point of it. I always thought Willie was a good dude. He was kind of a unique guy who I think really loved... Actually, someone close to him told me, like, he really loves basketball. He just doesn't like the stuff that comes with basketball. Like, if he could play in an empty arena, he'd be really, really happy. But that's not how the NBA works. And I think eventually, like, it showed, like, it weared on him a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of the reason he's in the position he's in now. Because I think he really was talented. He just didn't have the... There's a certain level of drive that you have to do this. And I don't think he really had it.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I think he had a very complicated life coming into the league.
Sure.
And that's, it's just not easy. That's what we were kind of talking about. Just like the way that some players, their lives are just way more complicated than you would ever think. And it's tough. It's tough to say no to family members that, you know, don't have anything either. And they're hanging on and all around you. And it's just, it puts you in a really bad situation. You know, Ben McLemore was a guy that I always circle and just say, man, the situation and the fact that a team really can't do something about it. They can't tell you, hey, you know, your aunt and uncle don't need to be your security and they shouldn't be here and you shouldn't be paying them six-figure salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is happening here? And you just can't do, you can tell them that, but then after that, if they don't do anything about it, you can't go fire their people. and just like, so there's so much like it's so complicated for so many players.
Yeah, that part of your life, like I think the idea of hiring people, you know, to work around you, I don't think that's a problem, but you need to be like on your second deal and you need to be like one of the guys. the 10th guy on the roster doesn't need people around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the first guy does. The second guy does. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you have a lot of commitments. You have a lot of things that these people could help you with.
Mm.
But you're not financially stable as a rookie.
Right. Right.
I know it seems like the $8 million a year. Yeah, you better slice that joint up quite a bit. And
yeah.
We're talking lifetime money. Like, it's really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of these guys just can't leave the league and be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not realistic.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of got sidetracked there.
No, it's okay.
We got a couple days left to get sidetracked because I feel like it's all business come Tuesday.
Mm.
I hope so.
Like we're leading into
happening.
Week one. Well, I certainly hope so too. There may not be. It may be the same stuff. We still, like, today's the first day. Like, I'll pose the question. I'll ask you, like, has anyone thought, like, about the 49ers without Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, they're going to lose a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of been like, no, it's fine. It'll get done. This is a nuisance. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, at some point, you have to ask the question, what does this team look like if those two guys aren't there?
Well, that's, I think, where the frustration comes in. Like, hey, what is Trent Williams asking for that you're not willing to give him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is, and I think it's separate, and you hear the way John Lynch, I'm bummed I closed out the window because the way John Lynch talks about Brandon Ayuk versus Trent Williams in this situation, this is what we've been talking about a lot today, it's really clear that they're really trying hard with Trent Williams to come to some common ground.
Yeah.
But I want to know, have you said what do you want?
Yeah.
And if he says XYZ, what's the pushback?
Yeah.
Figure it out, dudes. Yeah. Like, do that, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And with Ayuk, though, I think the 49ers have put an offer on the table that is kind of what he wants. And they've said, okay, here's our offer. Or you can go play for the Steelers. We have a trade worked out with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get out there on your fifth-year option. But practice starts today, so...
I wonder if there's another team that would call his bluff. Like, because, you know, Cleveland's been all in the news this morning with the repurposing of Deshaun Watson's money, which is just the most fascinating component of the NFL, how you can just say, no, that's not his salary, that's his signing bonus. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
it's just fascinating how we can change what yeah. the money stands for. Now, not that there's not consequence to it. The consequence is the dead cap money changes. Mm-hmm. You weren't cutting him anyways, so in the end, it doesn't really matter.
On a fully guaranteed deal, moving the money
around.
It does
not matter. But it freed up cap space for him, and that got people talking. And then, of course, there was the report that came shortly after that one that they had offered Brandon Ayuk the most money. I wonder mm-hmm. if Cleveland would be like, you know what, John, just we don't need his approval. Do the deal. And if he wants to say no to the money that he's asking mm-hmm. for, that's up to him. So mm-hmm. he has two options now. He can sign with the San Francisco 49ers, or without signing a contract extension, we can execute a trade for him to come to play with the Cleveland Browns. And if he wants to sit out and not play, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if he wants to come here and make the money that we're offering, which is exactly what he's asking for,
mm-hmm.
then we have it for him.
Right.
But make him say no to the money. It's a risky proposition for everyone involved, but make him say no to it.
So that's what's the Patriots weeks ago, it got reported that they were offering him $32 or $33 million, whatever it was.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly there's something other than a financial incentives here for him, which
right.
is like, then what's the right. holdup here?
Right. And that's the other thing. The Patriots aren't the Browns. Those are two very different football teams
Good
with
point.
Two very different quarterbacks going in two very different directions. I can understand in the process you go, all right, you got me there. I don't want to go play for mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett or Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
But Deshaun Watson is different. The Cleveland Browns are different. That's a team in a whole different category than, mm. and that's a team that can afford to take a risk if they wanted to, especially since, by all appearances, they might have pissed off Amari Cooper along the way.
Mm.
So at this point, you might not have anything to lose.
Yeah.
Maybe. You would be putting Brandon Ayuk in a position to say no twice, because he'd have to say no to the San Francisco 49ers and he'd have to say no to the Cleveland Browns. You're going to say no to money that is put in front of you twice. In my opinion, there's no chance he does that. Absolutely none.
Right.
there's also a big chance he goes somewhere and he doesn't perform the way that he would with the Niners, mm-hmm. and then he doesn't ever get that big money.
And which I think was a real, like, even though the money was on the table, that's a real probability in New England. I think it's less of a probability in Cleveland, but still, it doesn't mean it can't happen.
Yeah.
And as an NFL player, it's when the money's put in front of you and it's more than competitive, mm-hmm. it's insane to not take it.
Great.
Like, do not take these risks that you see NBA guys take thinking it's going to pay off for you. Because, buddy, it's not.
Nope. Very rarely.
This league is not about that.
Not at all. D-Lo and KC coming up next. I'm sure there'll be plenty more on this. Me and James will be back tomorrow. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. They sponsor the Insiders back at 10 a.m. on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.